Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 9 of Survivor 49, and I am joined by somebody huge in this community, Blake. There he is. Blake, it was supposed to be Andy today. Andy ended up switching out and doing Digging Deeper on Thursday, so if you didn't check that one out, make sure you go check it out. And that means that you get Blake today as your predictions and power rankings guy, and best of all, Blake got to be on the thumbnail then. That's a picture of Blake with a giraffe, for anybody who's wondering. If you can find the real photo, it's great. I was hoping to be able to get the giraffe into the thumbnail, but it just looked way too pixely. So the giraffe got cut. Blake stayed. Honestly, we probably should have just made it the giraffe. But here we are, episode 9, Predictions and Power Rankings.
Yeah, there's an atmospheric river going on right now. So if at any point it looks like the ceiling's going to cave in with a bunch of water, we'll just get through it. So,
dude. You know, okay, this is just so funny to me because it's amazing to me how anytime weather ever hits Los Angeles, it's the end of the world. We have to come up with names like atmospheric river and stuff. Come on. It rained for like 12 straight days here once. Come on, man.
So atmospheric river is basically like what I've come to understand is like, what if it's like a river, but in the sky, and it's just something where you wouldn't be able to understand how much water is falling because you've never been in it before, bud.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, I'm ready to power rank.
I was going to say, man, I can't wait to move back to LA so that anytime like the wind blows too hard, people can say that the world is ending. My goodness. All right. Here we go, Survivor 49.
Not making it so I can make my mark on power rankings finally.
I mean, you did earlier in the season when Rachel just owned you for an hour and a half straight. She just made you look like a fool nonstop.
I don't remember that.
So. You don't remember that? Okay, good. Here we are. We didn't get your thoughts on the last episode, and we know that it's probably overwhelmingly positive. So, Blake, what did you think about the last episode?
Wow, you're setting me up for failure. I think it was pretty interesting. We're trying new things. Of not only is this a poison pill, don't win this one because you don't want to go away from your team. Actually, you do want to go away from your team because you're gonna get immunity, you're gonna get a free vote, and you're gonna get to mess with the other side. Well, good thing that didn't happen to anyone besides Savannah herself, because Savannah can go from clearly the worst positioned person who it all fell down on to now I have a freaking gun, so watch out. Bah, bah, bah. And I do think it was very interesting seeing, I keep saying interesting, that kind of has some negative connotation, but what I do think happened was rough of MC is not a good player. I did see a lot of people saying, what a pleasure having her on. It was nice to see somebody who wasn't a game bot, or the story is she started watching in 2024 and look how far she came. Can't wait to see her on the show again. I'm like, that's not what I took from that. And it is something that I think on Survivor, there's a lot of people putting in very hard work. Of both Savannah and Rizzo have confessionals where it's like, all right, got to go to work, got to do not damage control, but I got to do some talking to people to find where they're at. Can I flip this? It's going to be hard to do. And then there's other people that are like, I should get through this because of my relationships. And it's like, that's not enough. And I do think that's probably why MC went is like, are you doing the work to make everybody happy every time? Or is it kind of like, well, this is what I thought would happen, and then it doesn't quite work out, and it is like, wait, what? And then the most wait what was Sophie sitting off to the side by herself while everyone else is freaking out. And you're like, what really did happen in the confessionals or in the tribal, our first live tribal of 49? Like, what was going on to just have Sophie sit off to the side and be like, I did not get picked up by my mom at the welcome gate. I was like,
I do wonder why she felt so comfortable just sitting there and what conversation she had had beforehand that made her so confident, I guess, that she was going to stay or that she didn't need to scramble or panic or do anything. I know that there's been stuff in MC's exit press, and honestly, I'm not going to touch on it. I don't feel like there's a benefit to me trying to take a side one way or the other on that. So I'm not going to, but I do feel like I didn't really read all of it. I'm getting the cliff notes from a lot of just Reddit, X, whatever. And I'm just like, okay, we're going to talk about what I watched on the show. I don't understand why Sophie felt so confident. Maybe she didn't feel confident, but she didn't get up. She didn't move at all. And now we're going back to a final nine where all nine people are going to be going to tribal council together. There are going to be two people immune this week. We do know that. So I'm assuming it's going to be one man and one woman. And Sophie's on the bottom, probably going back in. So I wonder what she thought she had to do and how she did it. And I feel like Sophie's exit press or whatever she's able to say after this, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of question marks just about her game in general at this point. But I do wonder why she felt comfortable here. And if there was anything she felt she could have done that would make it so that she would be in a better position going back to the group of nine. Because I don't feel like she's in a good spot going back to the group of nine, despite the fact that at the end of the last tribal council, she says, I'm with all of you moving forward. If we survive this, I am one of the five as we move forward. And I'm just like not buying that that's going to be believable or anything that's going to work in Sophie's favor moving forward. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I think the other layer that I'm just going to tease a little bit because we're going to be talking about it all day. Like, there's two clips of next time on sneak peek of what happens on the next episode. And Sophie turns from Sophie Yellow. Sophie instead of Soph. I hate that they didn't just say something. Why aren't we calling, if we called someone Cochran, why aren't we not calling her Segretti or Bellarity? They have really cool last names that we could just do. So Segretti is like, hey guys, I'm back. And the people that are back, those four people kind of have a reaction where they're like, I didn't expect you to be here. Yeah. And Sophie's like, wait, what? So I'm interested to see if there's going to be, hey, I didn't like that reaction, I'm going to work against you now. And then actually one other thing from the game, the thing that I need to address, Jawan and Sage. Like, there's reality, there's perception is reality, there's what really happened to them. And there's some stuff where it's like, how can I reconcile this? And Jawan has a confessional, I believe it was last episode, where he was like, I got revenge on Savannah and Rizzo, and now they're coming after me. And like, Savannah is the scariest, Savannah's a savage. And I really thought hard and I said, what do you mean revenge? Because Savannah kept you safe and voted out Jason. Who's the guy? Who's the older guy? I already forgot his name.
Matt.
Vote out Matt. There's Matt. There's Jason. There's Steven. Those are all, there's not a cool name. Those are normal names. But like,
oh, sorry. Yeah, it's not Blake. My bad, guys.
Yeah. Blake's a really cool name. But Jawan said, I'm getting revenge. And I'm like, what revenge are you talking about? Of you striking first at Nate? Like, everyone on Uli did vote someone else out before you, kind of didn't even think about getting rid of you. And I can't really understand Sage and Jawan's mindset of getting revenge and like having to make this move.
I feel like it made less sense because he didn't ultimately continue to go against the Ulis here, because
exactly,
he says, you know, I was on the bottom for a while at the start of this game. So Juwan is showing that he's aware that he was on the bottom of his tribe at the start of the game, right? That's something that's happening here. So I'm just confused why he didn't go the route of actually voting out one of the Ulis, but that's something that I've been trying to figure out and I haven't been able to get to the bottom of, and I've talked about the death in two episodes. This question here from Ryder: do you think Sophie will feel closer to Rizzo and Savannah instead of the OG Hina, knowing they are okay, they were okay with her leaving? Do you think the fact that Savannah said, probably came over and said, they all think it's going to be Sophie, and if Sophie finds out that they all thought it was going to be her and all seemed okay, do you think that this is going to impact the way Sophie plays moving forward? And this is ultimately what's going to be the end, beginning of the end for this old Hina tribe that I'm still assuming is going to get decimated, because Steven is still really the only one we know that much about.
And based on that quick clip, it is kind of like, if you haven't watched it, it's going to be in the first 5 seconds of watching it on Wednesday, where it is a, instead of having a poker face and being like, you know what, I'm happy to see anybody back. I just, we had a great time. We can pick up the sticks no matter what. Like, they literally go, MC's gone? Yeah. What? Are you serious? She's not behind there somewhere? Like, no poker face, no nothing. And I do think it's, I'm not going to put Sophie Segretti very high up on the rankings, because I do think it is kind of, do people say, I've watched this game and there's someone named Sandra Diaz-Twine and it's anyone but me. And if they're ready to cut ties with Sophie, let's get her out and then try again at 8 or 7. Mm-hmm. And like, that could happen to her. Just as
who are the people saying that they're surprised slash not happy that it's Sophie coming?
I'm pretty sure it's Steven, Christina,
and they're saying it openly out loud, because I didn't watch the clip. So they're saying it out loud where Sophie can hear it.
Steven and Christina both have a thought process of MC's gone? Mm. Are you sure? Wait, what?
Yeah. That's not good. I wonder, too, how this is going to impact Steven's game, because we're going into a final nine where the final 10 feels like it might have laid some groundwork, but it doesn't feel like it laid all of the groundwork. And I wonder how this will impact Steven's way of thinking now as he moves forward, as Blake takes a big yawn.
It's 4 in the morning over here, bro.
It's 4 a.m. and Blake is on a boat right now inside of his house because he's flooding. I wonder how MC's going to feel, or not MC, Steven's going to feel, because he felt really good with Juwan. He feels good with Sage. The three of them, the bottoms up alliance, here they are. But they just got rid of MC, who Steven probably has told them he feels pretty good with and was probably really hoping would end up surviving this and all that. Is he still going to feel as good with Sage and Juwan now?
And he may have to. Like, is it going to be a race to who can align with Rizzo and Savannah as quickly as possible? Because, like, it literally is the next 5 seconds as they go, oh, Rizzo must have used the idol. Like, that sucks for MC. And then somebody goes, Rizzo didn't use his idol. And then Christina is like, y'all are hella dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing at this point, too. When all of the options are so much more limited this week, I have not put my rankings together yet. I like to talk it through and then kind of put my rankings together after we get
that's
through.
That's how I work. That's crazy.
No, that's not like how you work. You just forgot. You forgot you were doing it. I had to call Blake at 9:01 a.m. his time. Wow, look at that. But I like to discuss it first, and I feel like so many avenues have closed. I feel like what's going to happen here is this is going to lead to more of the infighting amongst the bigger alliance. And they're going to start getting more preoccupied with themselves than they are with Savannah and Sophie and Rizzo. I know the last time you were on the podcast, and it was before you did the Tegwith episode, so I don't know what you talked about with Tegwith. I just know your takes were freezing cold. If it was, all you were talking about was, if you didn't know who was going to be on 50, you would think Savannah was going home last week. Now we're coming out of last week's episode and I'm going, ooh, Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie are in really good spots, because I do feel like with MC going, it could topple the entire house of cards. If people start getting too mad at each other over the fact that it was MC who went home, they all start focusing on each other. The other side has two, has an idol, a steal a vote, or an idol, an extra vote, and knowledge is power. You can't be infighting now. You have to be going after the other side. And we see this so often in Survivor, which is you start to say, I'm comfortable. Let me take out everybody else in my alliance. We saw this in Token Chains. We saw it in Samoa. Like, you see this happen time and time again at different eras of the game where the group that thinks they're in the dominant position, there's a reason why Beauty gets wiped out in Kageyan. There's a reason why the Bellow tribe, with the exception of Jake, gets wiped out in 45 and Jake's the zero vote finalist. Like, you can't get too preoccupied with the fighting that's annoying you now. You have to look at the bigger picture. And I feel like Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah are absolutely the bigger picture right now, but I just don't see them looking at the bigger picture.
I mean, imagine trying to balance this and then your three that you're trying to crack and go after has those three advantages. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing where, where does Alex fit in? Is he ever going to be like, no, Sophie, we need to work together? Or is he going to get caught in the middle ever? And then like, all right, let's vote them out. And then you lose to an idol. And then it's like, you can't split the idol anymore. Or don't worry, we're going to use our own idol correctly. And then it's like, for the first time in Survivor history, knowledge is power works. And you're like, oh, I guess I'm a footnote now of like, mm-hmm. Remember when Balearity used that KIP to kick my ass? And then you're like, hopefully I'll get back because... And then there's so many people that have been idled out that never play again, and you're just one of those people.
Well, and the thing is, too, as we talk about this, what's the path of least resistance for Alex right now? If he starts to say, oh my God, this group is way too chaotic, they don't trust each other, I'm not dealing with this, he could just go over to Savannah and Sophie and Rizzo and say, I want to work with all of you. Let's figure out how we can make this happen. By the way, Christina has the idol. And then that goes right to what you said, where it's like, hey, now Christina's a footnote because Christina's going to get her idol stolen by Sophie. If you're Alex and that other side isn't working well together, why stick with them? You have avenues on the other side.
And I don't think Alex is going to betray Christina. And then the other person that found the idol was with her was Steven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steven, Alex, and Christina.
Steven, right? I know it was Alex. I think it was Steven.
I think those people, I think that meant something to Alex. And I think there is something where, I don't know if this is bad Survivor gameplay, but like, he does believe Christina may use that on me. Because mm-hmm. Christina maybe isn't a huge target. Christina's not going to need this idol to get to six or five. Like, I think Christina would be one of those, like, we're going to vote for them to flop on everyone else. So I think Alex knows that if I work with Christina, I can move forward. And then if Sophie asks him to go against that, I think that's where he's headed, is a choice, not a Sophie's choice, two Sophies, but he has the real Sophie's choice of, do I go with this Sophie or against Sophie?
Speaking of Sophie's choice, do you remember when Jeff made the Sophie's choice comparison and totally had never seen that movie and did not know what a Sophie's choice actually was?
What season was it?
I forget. It was a couple seasons ago, but he's like, it's kind of like a Sophie's choice. And it's like, it's not that difficult of a decision. Like, you know what the Sophie's choice is, right?
You can say this on a podcast, but not on a broadcast.
Do you know what a Sophie's choice is?
Yes.
What is it?
Pick your son to live or your daughter to live.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here, Jeff.
Exactly. And Jeff like compared it to like something that was happening in the game. He's like, it's kind of like a Sophie's choice. It's like, nope, that's not what that is. That's not what that is. It's a shame that movie's not better. Anyway, A. Cook says, has Alex been with Christina now as long as he was with Sophie in their first tribe? That's a good question. And I think that's worth bringing up right now. They went through 6 days on the original Kella tribe. 6 days. And then it was day number 12 is when Shannon got voted out. So Christina and Alex were on the same tribe for 6 days. So yeah, they've played together. Christina and Alex have played together for the same amount of time as Alex and Sophie. And right now, Sophie might be old news for Alex because that was the first week of the game. The second week of the game was Christina. So I don't know. He still doesn't seem like he's all that committed to Christina. I mean, his confessional literally tells us he is not committed to Christina. But it's interesting when you start to break it down that way. You know, the original tribal lines might seem like they matter more, but he has played the same amount of days with Christina as he has with Sophie. But as St. Cliffo says, only one vote together. So that could also matter a little bit more of why he might go back to Sophie and feel a little bit more comfortable with her.
Also, there's one other thing from the episode that I forgot about. And somebody hinted on this. It's like, why is Sophie Segretti not shown more? And there's the thought process of she's the third cheater. Like, I don't think
why
that,
are we getting to that?
I don't think that that's
I'm asking where is that coming from? Like, I saw that in the chat. I saw Tegwith had posted something. I didn't listen to Tegwith's video. I was driving and, you know, I was at a light and I scrolled and I'm like, why is she so mad about this? Where is this coming from? Give some context before you start to elaborate.
So why would they not show Sophie Segretti? She seems interesting. She seems like she is kicking ass. We want to know more about her. When we do get crumpets of her, we like how the crumpets taste. Crumpets.
Crumpets are big.
And so it's one of those like, we need more from her. What happened? And then there was the idea of, well, maybe it was three cheaters and they only had two replacements because they skimp on everything. And they didn't have a third one. So they kept Sophie Segretti because they wanted Sophie Bellarity to be Soph anymore. I don't believe this, and here's why.
Because it's idiotic. And like Ryder says, I think Reddit is bored, and St. Cliffo says it's just a hot take conspiracy theory. Okay, continue.
Okay, here's my actual point that matters. Don't remember
anything I said. Points matter now.
Sophie Segretti is playing against Savannah last name in that challenge, and they're doing their best. It's a crazy challenge. Savannah has a Shein moment of I'm going home unless I win, and now it's huge and like pie on your face, Sophie Segretti. Jeff asks Sophie Segretti afterwards, how are you feeling? And instead of saying any kind of commentary about emotions or how she's feeling, she goes, Jeff, my world was at 10, and now my world has shrunk to 5. And 5 is just way more dangerous than 10. So my world has shrunk, and I don't know moving forward how things are going to work. Maybe Sophie just explained how Survivor works instead of having any real emotions or anything, and she's not a great narrator or not a great person at being like, here's what's going on in my mind. I get maybe you're trying to hold your cards close to your chest because you're like, I don't want my opponents to know how I'm feeling, but it's not good TV. And then another layer of this, I'm not going to pick on MC again, but I'm going to tell you another thing. MC's first sentence of her goodbye Survivor, holding her, everybody's votes come up in her exit interview. She goes, first sentence out of her mouth was, I wish I could have played in more individual immunity challenges because I was looking forward to those. It's like, if that's your initial reaction after getting voted out, I don't need you to see you on All Stars. Like,
yeah.
Go play the challenge. Congrats on being on the challenge. Like, I think it's going to fit you more. Like, I want to cast people that are voracious in their Survivor. Like, I need to win, not, oh, I had a great time meeting people. These are lifelong friends. Like, that's kind of more interesting. If you're going to say the first thing out of the box is, I thought I was going to be better at challenges, I don't think you were on the... I don't think anybody nailed it putting you on the show or having you on the show.
I think the one thing that Survivor fans don't want to admit sometimes is some players really are just kind of boring. And even if they're not boring in the sense of, well, they're still on TV and you see them somewhere and you're like, no, this person's a lot more fun than 95% of the people I know. They might be boring to what the story is, right? Like, they just might not fit what the story is. And so it might be boring in that context. They might not be giving the producers what they want for the show. So I think you're right with Sophie and MC. The whole Sophie thing, look, I don't know if there's more to it. I don't really care. But if somebody's just making that up, well, I think the person who made that up kicks puppies. That's what I think. They kick puppies. That's what they do. No, they do. Whoever made that up, if they're making it on baseless accusations, they kick puppies. Because that's the same thing. Like, you don't know anything. Are you on the island? No, you're not. So don't give me this nonsense that, oh, all of a sudden Reddit or something has this knowledge coming out of nowhere. Unless this is coming from Jeff Probst and he's saying, we did have a third cheater and this is what happened. There's no reason to believe this. And so it's silly that these kinds of things come up to just like create a storyline around a player who has no storyline. Because I think it's nonsense. And the people who are making it up are just sitting at home saying whatever. I could go home. I could say anything about any player on this season if I wanted to. I could just make something up. Man, I ran into Sophie Bilarity one time and she was insert blank. Like, it doesn't matter. And so it's funny to me like what Survivor fans run with, because I think Survivor fans are really bored a lot of the time. Stop running with stupid stuff. And maybe it's true. Maybe Sophie Segretti was half cheating. But we have no idea. This is so stupid. So yeah, I've seen that comment come up a couple times and it's like, go get a life, find something to do. As Owen once said, touch grass, go outside. It's okay. You guys are allowed to go outside. You're allowed to get off the internet for 5 seconds. It's going to be okay. But listen to our podcast while you're outside, like this video and subscribe to the channel too. I don't know. I think people are grasping at straws for Sophie's edit's not big. Christina's edit's not big. MC's edit wasn't very big until the end. It's like, they just maybe did not fit the story and they're not going to win. So you don't have to do it. You don't have to push. And that, here you go, right here, ML, whatever. She's not giving Jeff what he wants from her comments. It's true. That summarizes why a lot of people get invisible edits on Survivor. They do not give production or Jeff what they ultimately want. That's it. It's that simple.
Which, does she give them what they want next week or whatever? Like, I think some people suck at playing from the top. Some people suck at playing from the bottom. And some people need to find where they're at. And I think somebody, not spitting in Sophie's face, but more of like, I thought Sophie would be gone, I think is going to be the most interesting version of her whenever it's like, you thought I'd be gone? Well, screw you guys. And like, hopefully that confessional has some real emotion. I'm not looking for tears, but I am looking for something besides at final nine. There's probably going to be a majority of a five that takes over a four. And I hope I'm on the right side. Like, I'm tired of confessionals that just explain how Survivor works. You're spitting in my face.
Yeah. Since Blake brought up not to just spit in Sophie's face, we'll have this up while Blake is here.
Oh my God. More Nicole. Bring Nicole back.
St. Quippo, I actually listen to the Patreon while I mow the lawn. That's what I like to hear. See, go outside and do this. But yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to.
The grass touches him.
Grass touches him. Yeah. just leave this up now. I don't know. I feel like we get too caught up in conspiracy theories and stuff sometimes. And sometimes the show is just playing out the way that the show is just playing out. This is definitely saying was up, but with numbers. It's also about giving them what they want in the context of that season story. Maybe Sophie S. confessions are too focused on a version of the game that doesn't really exist. That's the other thing. Like, Sophie S., if she was going to be in the final three, or if the things that she was saying were actually integral to the story, it would be making the screen. Like, it would be on our screens. This season isn't about whatever Sophie wants it to be about. So,
which that all makes sense. And like, I do think that was a really cool final 10 episode. Some people were like, oh, it was too bloated as a too overpowered as an advantage. And you're like, I don't know. Like, I'm glad that Savannah's going to beat them. So great. Like, Whatever we had to do to make it happen, let's go.
You just want to be right. I feel like it wasn't an overpowered advantage. I said to Will last week, I didn't feel like anything was necessarily unfair about the twist. I didn't feel like MC got screwed. I didn't feel like Savannah got overpowered. I didn't feel like Rizzo got overpowered. I just don't think it's better for the show. And that's what Andy and I talked about a lot, is I just think that splitting them into two groups of five at Final 10 isn't fun. You're creating two tribes. It's a tribe swap. And like, I just don't think it's good. So it's not that it was overpowered. It's not that it was necessarily unfair. I'm not as impressed. Like, Rizzo's game was amazing last week, but like, let's say Rizzo or Savannah go on to win the season. I think it's more impressive if they survive at Final 10 in a normal fashion than right now.
I did think, like, how is Rizzo going to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And then him surviving with an idol. If we have, like, in a vacuum, if this is 47, we're like, Rizzo is the coolest guy of all time.
Yeah.
But once again, because he's got a star, all-star on his back that we know about, we're like, of course he did something unbelievable.
You don't think he elevated in your mind, though, this week?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's okay. Insane. Like, that was, I wouldn't do that. I'd be using an idol, and then MC goes home anyway. Like, I think that is a, here's the tale of two people with idols. Of like, MC used her idol right away, even when her friends told her not to. Then Jawan is kind of like, I can't trust you, and they don't hash it out. They don't do the work to hash it out. And that becomes a, I used the idol last night. I just wanted more assurance. It's like, well, why don't you trust me? It's like, can two things, I do trust you. I just want more assurance because I saw so many people go home, and my mom, my aunt, my neighbor was like, do not go home with an idol. And like, I just heard their voices and like, still trust you, Juwan. I just want to get it out of there. Mm-hmm. I know that could maybe make it harder for us, but I'm ready to prove myself again. Like, maybe we did say that there's 24 hours on the island. But I think Rizzo having the other idol experience, here's my idol publicly. I'm not going to play it by Nate. Here's my idol publicly. I'm on the bottom. And now there's a confessional saying, how is Rizzo on the bottom and domineering this vote? And I saw a lot of stuff where it was like, okay, Rizzo didn't really control this. He just got the benefit. And it's like, if Rizzo didn't control this, why did you not vote him out?
Well, and okay, I think that Rizzo really benefits on 50 from the fact that people didn't see his season. Because I think his style of play is much more intimidating than Savannah's. Doesn't mean I don't think Savannah could win this season. Doesn't mean I don't think Savannah could end up being the better player, more entertaining character on this season. But Rizzo doing this back-to-back episodes of not playing the idol in situations where like 85 to 90% of Survivor players would be playing their idols is really impressive. And that would scare the hell out of me if I'm on 50 and I'm saying, who is this little dweeb? I got to beat him up. I'm scared of him. But now I actually think that Rizzo, because of his personality and everything, and because of he will be useful in challenges as long as he doesn't put himself on a puzzle, I think Rizzo's in a better spot than Savannah, because I think Savannah is more likely to either rub people the wrong way or be voted out because she's not good at challenges and nobody knows who she is, than Rizzo, even though I think that if they had all seen season 49, Rizzo would actually be in more trouble than Savannah.
And I do think the Rizzo not playing idols and stuff is like what 15 of us have. Here's how I would play idols for the last like 10 years of our life.
Yeah.
Like, he is not only ingrained in what Survivor is, he's ingrained, trained, and now executing.
He listens to the specialist, and that's why he's so good at
Survivor. Whoa.
Yeah. I want to throw this comment up because, Will, you are Blake, sorry. You were mentioning how, you know, you want Savannah to come back, and somebody had said this, worth playing for, it said how Will got such a good fantasy team named Get Rizzo or Savannah, and then had corrected and said Phil. I got such a good fantasy team because, unlike Blake and Will, I don't just read who's on 50 and then have no idea how to make takes otherwise. I think I've beaten the crap out of you guys 3 years in a row now on fantasy team. I have five people left. Will has just Rizzo. You have three people left. I have five. Five. The only one I lost was Annie. And everybody who was picked after Annie is out of the game. So there's nothing I could do anyway.
Poor Annie, man. Bring her back for Survivor 51. She's a real player, you know?
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that one up because I think it's fun. All right, let's start ranking players. Let's start doing that. Who's your safest player?
Could that be a 51? Before we jump off of 49, 51, bring back the three disaster tribes untouched of Jake, Nicole, Annie, Jeremiah, Sophie, and Alex versus Brandon Donlan, Sean.
Get out of here. Anything to get Brandon back on our TVs, but get out of here.
And then who's the other one? Who would you choose for the third disaster tribe?
Shannon Ricard would have to be. JD, Shannon Ricard. That would actually be the best one. Shannon Ricard, Sarah, Jeannie, JD, and Brad. That would actually be amazing to watch them just run that.
Okay. Back. So 41 versus track. 49 versus one in the middle. 46? What is that one?
Which one were you saying? I wasn't listening.
Emily Flippin and Kaylin.
45.
So 41, 45, and 49 are at four seasons of – that's perfect.
That's perfect. Make it season 53.
Sheesh.
There you go. All right. No, to answer your question, no. All right, let's go ahead and let's start ranking. Who do you have as your safest person this week?
Safest person, I'm going to say Rizzo.
Damn, that's crazy. It's a hot take.
Because I
How
think
– you come up with such a hot take so fast?
I'm going to say Rizzo has an idol and is a insane person when it comes to using it. The person that has the knowledge of his power is on his side, so he's not going to have it taken away from him. So without any other initial ideas, maybe he's motivated to win immunity because he loves being a Survivor player. So he's always in the background in my head of if there's a challenge Rizzo's good at, he's going to go for it. So I think Rizzo he's insulated and not going home this week in any way.
I mean, yeah, Rizzo going home would be absolutely mind-blowing after everything that we've seen. He made it through the two votes where he needed to not play his idol, and now he can play his idol if he needs to gain the power. Like, if he plays his idol, and the next vote, Savannah plays her extra vote, and then they get the knowledge as power, right? This group has a 3-2 advantage at final five. Easy. So, yeah, I'm putting Rizzo at number one as well. I also feel like everybody's kind of good with Rizzo, right? Like, Jawan doesn't hate Rizzo. Sage wants Rizzo out, but Sage doesn't have any power. We've seen that over and over again. Sage is having the right reads, but she's not able to convince people to make the right moves. So she's got 50% of the game going. She needs the other 50%. You need to be able to convince people that they need to do what you think is best. And she just hasn't been able to do that. And that's what's killing her. So I think Rizzo's good with everyone.
And I think that goes into the idea of Survivor's hard work. You got to be working. And we have a couple Sage confessionals of like, why don't they believe me? And it's like, we need you to like sit down with some of these people and explain to them for 35 minutes why you need to be doing this. And it's like, oh, that would probably put me in a mastermind role where I would get a target. So I shouldn't do that. But masterminding the game kind of helps you win it sometimes. But I think that's a tough thing to balance. And some people maybe just can't find the right formula to balance it.
Mm-hmm. And I also think like, Sage is very smart, but I think Sage's presentation probably does not come across the best to everybody who she's out there with. And that's what's killing her too. So, Rizzo number one, I think is easy. Like we were all putting Savannah at number one earlier in the season. I think Rizzo is an easy number one here. Let's hear Blake's second hot take of the day.
And we just said her name. It's Sage. I don't think there's
you're going to put Sage at two. That actually is a hot take. Holy shit. Good for you.
There's a thought process of, Sage may not be in charge of the game, but I don't think everybody needs her as a vote, whether you're counter alliance or main alliance or the yellow crew is getting together or red squad is back together. Those people have Sage as a vote that we're looking to grab instead of voting out. I don't think Sage is going home in ninth place.
I have Sage lower. Because I feel like Sage is firmly in the we don't necessarily need you boat for both sides. If Savannah and Sophie and Rizzo take control of this game, they don't need Sage to do it. In fact, I think not telling Sage anything is probably better for their game. Because if you tell Sage something, she'd go to the other side. If the other side wants to vote out Savannah, Rizzo, or Sophie, they don't need Sage. If they want to vote out Sage, they don't need Sage. Like Sage is so in the middle of nothing right now. She has Steven and Jawan, but would you rather be Sage, Steven, and Jawan as a group of three? Or would you rather be Rizzo, Savannah, and Sophie with all of their advantages as a group of three? It's a very obvious
answer. Who's the last three after that?
Christina.
Alex and other Sophie.
I'm putting Alex at number two.
That's the other three I wouldn't want to be.
See, I feel like Alex is actually in the second best spot coming into this episode. I think he's in such a good spot because he has his group. We just don't know which group it is yet. Alex could get caught playing the middle like a Sarah Lucina type move here, but I think that he has too many people who like him on both sides. I think Sophie would put her neck out for him a little bit. I think Steven would put his neck out a little bit for him. I think Christina at this point would put her neck out for him. I think there's enough people who would say, no, I don't want it to be Alex. So the only way I see Alex going home would be if he got idled out of the game. And I don't think he would get idled out here because I think if you're Rizzo or Sophie or Savannah and you have a chance to idle somebody out, you're going after somebody who has a much, much stauncher stance against you. And Alex doesn't have a stance against you right now. So I'm going Alex at number two.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I have him a little bit lower down, but just because I'm not a Washington, D.C. guy, I guess.
Hey, they just lost, by the way. Anybody who's a Commanders fan, they lost. Your season's over. Congrats.
Did they have a London game or something?
They played in Madrid. They are the first NFL team to ever lose in Spain.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of Spain, let's speak a little Spanish and let's have that doesn't work with this person. Juwan is number three. I think the duo of Sage and Juwan are not getting broken up because it's kind of the same stuff for Sage, but I do think Juwan's a little bit worse at explaining his way out or being what somebody needs. But I don't think Juwan is getting idled. I don't think Juwan is like, oh, he didn't win immunity. This is the perfect time to get Juwan. I do think that's probably coming down the line of Savannah versus this crew. But I ultimately think Savannah could have the tides turned on her quicker than both Sage and Juwan. So that's why I don't have Savannah in this top three. I just made Juwan's thing about Savannah, but I am trying to say Juwan is not going home. That's how rankings are, right?
That's what they are. I think Juwan, so for me, Juwan, I felt like was a true contender to win the game going into episode eight. I don't feel like he could win still, but I feel like he took a massive step down, right? This is the Super Bowl favorite losing to the Titans this year. It's like, that's a big step down. Yeah. Texas losing to Florida, you know, something like that. And it's like, Blake is still wearing his Texas shirt even after the third loss of the year, but it's like, Juwan here is in this position where nobody really feels bad with Juwan. Rizzo might say, hey, he burned us once to get rid of Nate. Savannah might say the same thing. And Savannah's definitely been annoyed by Juwan. But also, he just kind of proved loyalty to them again last week. And so even if Juwan's going to go back and forth and that is bad for your game, it's still better for your game to have somebody who might work with you than somebody who will never work with you. And Christina's never working with them. And I don't think Steven's ever working with them. And Sophie's pretending that she's going to work with them, but I doubt it. So to me, I agree. I think Juwan's okay. I don't have him at three, but I do think he's probably okay. At three, I have Sophie Bolarity. Soph. If you're going to go after Savannah, Rizzo, or Sophie, and you make the mistake of not going after Rizzo or Savannah for the third consecutive week, shame on you, because it's not going to work. You're going to blow it again. And I feel like Sophie is still the storyline of the season. I think she is still the focal point of the show. Even though last week we barely heard from her, that's because at Final 10, she was not the winner of the challenge. She was on the winning team, though. And she didn't go to tribal council. So I'm not too concerned that we heard almost nothing from her.
she got a sandwich that she made with all and the things.
She was the one. I don't know if you guys noticed the eagle eye on Sophie Bellardi. She's the one who saw Savannah going away on the boat. Okay. It was her first. Anyway, so I think Sophie's fine. I still think it's her story. I still think it's her season. And I think that had this been a normal merge boot, we would have heard a lot more from her. So I think that we're going to hear a lot more from her this week. I think Sophie has the most potential to make a big move out of the three people on the bottom, which might sound crazy because Rizzo has an idol and Savannah has an extra vote. But the idol is such public knowledge at this point. The big move was not playing it. Now I don't know how Rizzo makes a big move with that idol. With Savannah, she has the extra vote. I don't know if people will view that as a massive move or she got lucky because she just happened to win the right challenge. I think with Sophie, if she's able to correctly steal somebody's advantage, because she could still steal Rizzo's if she wants to, which if she did that, let's say Sophie did that like final five or final six, that would be a baller move. She has a much bigger chance to make a massive, unexpected move. And I just think at this point, if you're on Hina, why are you going for Sophie instead of Rizzo or Savannah? It would only be out of fear. And at that point, if Sophie feels like she's in danger, she's going to steal Rizzo's idol. If she feels like she could go home, she'll steal the idol and she'll play it for herself. She will. So I got Sophie at three. I think she's in a good spot.
My number four person, someone we haven't mentioned yet, Bellardi, Sophie Bellardi.
That's who I literally just talked about. I just want to make sure, now that they've done the whole soapy thing, I want to make sure people aren't confused about who we're talking about.
Sophie Bellardi. My friend Phil just said all this stuff about her. I want to kind of say, when would she go home? I don't think she would go home before six. Of like, she's fun to be around. She's not going to beat us in challenges. Even if we're the dominant alliance of, if Hina was five people strong still, it'd be like, I guess they were never five because Jason went home. So if they were four people strong and had Alex, it'd be like, let's keep Sophie till six because she's great to be around and fun. Like, I think she's nailing the social game. I think she's nailing the positioning game. And I am worried about, does the knowledge is power work? Not because of Sophie, but how the history of knowledge is power has been. We haven't had a successful knowledge is power to have as a precedent of, do people get over it and say good play, or do people be like, what, my, like, I'm gonna hold a grudge? Like, we don't know how that works. Maybe we've had an idol blocker and like have somebody be salty, but I think she is somebody that has a story that hasn't finished. Until the knowledge is power is played, I think Sophie is going to be fine.
Yeah, I agree. My number four, I'm going to go Jawan, so not far behind you. I put Jawan over Sage because I do feel like Sage has been more vocal about wanting to get rid of the Ulis, and she's been more frustrated that she hasn't been successful in doing it. She's been butting heads a little bit more with Savannah. I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like Jawan and Savannah's butting heads is happening in confessionals, not in real life. And I feel like Sage and Savannah's butting heads is happening in real life. It's not just confessionals. So I'm going to put Jawan as a little bit safer than Sage. What's very fascinating about this season is we could end up with a final six of four Ulis. And right, you can still get four. Yeah, four Ulis and the two Kela tribe people. But it's not a pagonging, and it doesn't feel like it went in a predictable fashion, which is because
they did three tribe swaps.
And that's kind of how Kageon was, right? Where like Kageon has what you could consider a really bland boot order post merge after the LJ boot, but it's not really like it really, like, the season's still awesome the entire time. And so that's how I feel this season could go, where I do feel like Jawan, Sophie, Sage, Rizzo, Savannah probably get through this. But what does that mean for how I feel about Jawan? It just kind of means that I still feel like he'd be on the wrong side of the numbers at six, but he can still get to six. So I have Jawan at four. I'm feeling good. Feeling good about my preseason winner pick. I'm just happy he's hung on as long as he has. I know a lot of people, he's a zero vote finalist. Still think if he gets to the end, he's not a zero vote finalist. But I'm just happy he keeps hanging on, because people were trying to make me feel foolish for constantly saying he was fine and The edit's been there for Juwan. Hasn't been there for others like that.
Juwan wins unanimously and comes back for 50. I do think the only thing that Juwan is doing is like, whoa. Like, usually when people maybe are surprised by things, I'm sure maybe Sandra was surprised by things once or twice, but they didn't put it in the edit.
They put her surprise getting Rupert got voted out, and then she just destroyed everybody's lives. But you know,
that's one. And then it's just something where the surprise thing, does that pay off, or does, is that used to be like Juwan has no idea what's going on? And like, I think if Juwan got fourth place or third place with zero votes, all of the backstory is there to support that.
Mm-hmm. I think really right now the backstory is there to support whatever placement Juwan gets. Like, Juwan could finish first through ninth, and the edit makes sense for him finishing first through ninth.
True.
You know, that's not the case for really anybody else here.
Should we skip and go to ninth place and work backwards now?
No. Oh, can I want to bring this up. So people now, instead of just doing confessional tracker, they do confessional time tracker. So I wanted to bring this one up because this is the latest update, and I don't know how much this will play into what we're talking about, but just to give an idea of how far behind the yellow tribe is from everybody else, Christina has 4 minutes and 39 seconds of confessional time. Sophie Segretti has 4 minutes and 58 seconds of confessional time. 2:49 of that is in the last two episodes. So literally, like, she had a minute and 50 in the first six, but then had 2:49. Okay. Steven is at 9:06. So he almost doubles Sophie and Christina. And he's still a minute and a half behind Juwan, who's at 10:37. Sage is at 10:40. Rizzo's only at 11:30. So Rizzo's barely a minute ahead of Juwan. Sophie is at 12:01. Alex is at 13:35. And then Savannah's at 14:24. But 3 minutes and 22 seconds of that was this last episode. So going into the last episode, Savannah was actually behind Alex and Sophie for confessional time. So I just wanted to bring that up because I always like to look at the confessional stuff. I mean, that is the show that we're watching. And I think Savannah right now, people are like, she has 55 confessionals. Next highest is 42. She's going to be on 50. She's dominating. It's like, you got to look at when it's happening too, though. She got 3 minutes and 22 seconds when she got an advantage that had never been in the game before. On a split tribal where she gets to join another tribe. Like, she's the narrator of that episode. Of course she got 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
Right.
So.
It is something where I get the idea of supporting and lead actors because I watch movies. I get it. But it is something where, what would we root for? Like, I need to hear more from these people. It's like, actually, Savannah narrating that entire episode and every thought and being like, here's what happened to me as a 22-year-old at work. Here's what, all of that was enthralling. Equal parts, because Savannah was at the worst position last episode and came out the best. I think those confessionals laying that out for the audience of, are you paying attention? Like, I was going home today and now I'm dominating these people. And all it took was being as strong as possible in a challenge. Like, no one even came close to beating me. I have what it takes to be a Survivor legend. Watch me walk over these people, but I'm still in trouble because people are going to be able to see that even if they're on the island.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got from that.
Yeah. All right. Who do you have at number five then?
Five. Christina has an idol. She's going to be using it if she does get some.
But it's going to be stolen. This is written in stone. It's going to be stolen, Blake.
If they steal Christina's idol, I don't think they'd vote out Christina. I think they'd go, Christina's not going to play it on somebody. So any of her allies are, I don't think we could go, and I don't want you against me, so I'm going to take your idol and vote you out. Is like, why would you not? I don't want to say waste, because Christina is in her own right. Like, she was on a tribe that was dominant. Like, I'm sure we're doing a leg strength challenge. which always is like a crapshoot in my mind of like who are good at those. Like it was Baylor won that one on San Juan del Sur.
Right, don't start knocking Baylor just for shits and giggles here. All right. I mean, Baylor.
Bring
Baylor
back Missy, please. Bring back Missy. Season. Missy is my number one bring back for All Stars.
Baylor.
Why was Missy not on 50?
Wait, have you not seen? We had an interview with Missy back during 50. Me and Alexa.
What?
Yeah.
Back during 40.
40. That's what I meant. I don't know what day it is.
bring back Missy. Christina is not going home in this episode, more so than others, because of her idol. If she has a problem going on, I think she'd use this idol to save herself. I think she has some tough questions to be asking people about why did MC go home, and I think she'll get some answers from some people. She is enough aligned with people where people are going to not lie to her and be like, here's what happened, and she will make a informed decision based off that.
So with this, so it's the leg challenge. Is it the one where you're holding like a block up or something with your feet up in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, Blake's going to literally break his chair. We're finally going to see his closet door close, going to fall back and hit it with his head. So you're leaning back with your feet up and you have to like hold a block or something like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's make a puzzle with your feet, but yeah.
Okay. Based on that, I think if it's a man and a woman who win, being that there's going to be two, unless Jeff just says last two win, or he breaks them into two different tribes and decides that there's a winner from each, I think it would probably be Sophie Segretti who wins this from the women.
Over Savannah? Are you just not paying attention to the edit?
In terms of if it's leg strength, yeah, I think it would. They're holding a plate against a pole with their feet.
I've been there, brother.
Have you? I don't think you have.
I just like that.
I feel like he did the snap too. For anybody listening, you might not have heard it, but he did the snap as he said that. I feel like Sophie would have an advantage here, especially with MC out. This might be a challenge that I'd be saying MC's gonna win. And now I'm saying maybe it's so, I don't know. Either way,
I'd hate for Sophie to get second place and then have her get unanimously voted out.
So what's really interesting is you were talking about stealing the idol from Christina. I could see a situation where, maybe I'm getting carried away here, but what if Rizzo and Savannah both win this? What if Sophie steals the idol from Christina? They play one of their idols. Just one. They don't have to play both. They just play one. They get rid of Steven or whoever they want to get rid of. And then they're going into the next episode with an idol and an extra vote. And now we're at final eight. And all they have to do is flip one person and they have a 5-4 advantage because of the extra vote. And even if they don't flip one person, they have the idol. So now you're going to final seven with an extra vote and an alliance of three. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Yeah, I like your idea that they might steal it from Christina and not use it just so she can't use it. I'm going to put Sage at 5.
Okay. Say something nice about Sage, finally.
Sage and Juwan are my two favorites on the season right now, which is crazy to think about because at the beginning of the season, I was roasting Sage. I think Sage and Juwan are the best. I think they made a terrible decision last week. Terrible. Game-ending level of decision. But at the end of the day, I think that she's compelling. I think she's been doing her best. I think she's going to probably go home in 7th or 8th place, but I don't think she goes home this week. I think Ahina has to go home this week for Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie to take control. And if it's not going to be Ahina going home, it means it's Savannah or Rizzo, or really it's Savannah who gets too complacent and goes.
Okay, so what is Sage's way to win here? What does Sage need to do from final 9 to final 5 to set up a winning scenario for herself?
Be recast on 44.
Oh my God. You're supposed to be a specialist. You can get anybody there. What would you coach? You have all the information. You're going to cheat and give Sage, here's what I would do. I'm a story producer and I want you to win. And I'm breaking
all
the rules.
Vote for Rizzo every single time.
Vote for Rizzo every single time.
Every single time. And you convince every person in your alliance to also vote for Rizzo, and you hope you're not the other vote. You hope that you're not the vote from that bottom three. You go to your group and you say, I am voting for Rizzo. We need to flush his idol. We've gotten to this point, and Andy brought this up on our Digging Deeper. we've gotten to this point where people are getting complacent with flushing and they're not actually doing it. They're just allowing it to continue on. And it made sense in 48 because, like everybody said, they all knew where the idol was and they knew Eva wasn't going to win, or at least they felt Eva wasn't going to win. So they were content to give it to Eva and let her have it. But the problem with this season is by never voting for Rizzo and allowing him to hold it and allowing him to bluff and never calling his bluff, not pulling the Eric Reichenbach from Kara Mullen. Because of this, you now allow him to have it for two extra votes. If I'm a story producer, I'm saying you must vote for Rizzo every time. Vote for him and make him use his idol. Vote for him the next time and make somebody else use an idol for him. Vote for him the next time and make them use the extra vote just to tie the vote. You need to vote for Rizzo every time or you cannot win this season. And if you can be the one who says, I made us all vote for Rizzo, I was willing to sacrifice the pawns of my game in order for Rizzo to go home so I could win, you'll win the game. That's what I would say. I don't think that happens.
Damn. That, I just lived in a world where Sage made it to Final Five or made it to Final Five as a threat. And I kind of want to live in that world, yeah, but
good for a sec.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
All right. Who do you have at six?
I had this person lower, but I think if I'm thinking about it harder, I need to put him here. So I'm going to say Alex is at six. I think Alex has a tough episode ahead of him. Of here's your decision. It's Alex's choice. Which Sophie do you go with? Which Sophie do you align with? And it's one of those things that at nine, you're going to make four people mad, or you're going to make three people mad when you make this. And it is, oh, we expected Steven to be against us. Oh, we expected Savannah to be against us. Whoever's talking, they're expecting some of this. But we were hoping Alex would work with us. And I'm sure we'll have. As someone that works on Capitol Hill, I usually have people that rely on me and ask me for things that are outside of my comfort zone all the time. And to lie to people like that and go get Jell-O at the Capitol Hill cafeteria is just something I'm used to. So this is second nature to me. And then it'll be like, do people get mad? I think Alex's time is coming because I don't think he wins, but I don't know if he's targeted over Hina in this episode. So I'm going to have him at six.
We have Ryder here with imagine a 4-3-3 vote with the extra vote. That'd be crazy if it was a split vote between the six and then Savannah used her extra vote to give them the advantage and vote out whoever they wanted. That'd be crazy. That'd be a good episode. That's for sure.
That'd be 50 worthy. That would be a bloodbath in the post merge.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sick. Not even going to lie. That means it can't happen. All right. Yeah, Alex. Again, I put Alex at two, not because I think he's going to win, just because I think he's safe this week. My number six, I am going to go Savannah. So my bottom three are all of the Hinas. I think a Hina goes home this week. So I'll put Savannah at six and then I'll just finish mine because I'll make you go last, but I go Christina at seven. I go Sophie at eight and I go Steven at nine. I think that Steven is too well connected and they're going to try to go after Steven knowing that he's ultimately the one who's the glue keeping all of that alliance and Hina, the scraps of Hina still together. So Christina's my seven. I think you could be right that they steal her idol, but don't ultimately use it to vote her out. She's not really a threat to win. Sophie Segretti, I think she has a better chance in this challenge to win it. And I think, like Rizzo said last week, everybody wants to vote her out anyway. Why start voting her out now? And then I think Steven, he's just too well connected with Sage and Jawan. And he's really the one thing that's preventing Jawan and Sage from being 100% on team Savannah, Sophie, and Rizzo.
So you're such a non-fan of Hina. You got rid of all three of them at once. That's crazy. Like, come on, editors, make us care about these people. Like Phil's trying to zoom through so we can go get a smash burger from the Miami Grill, you know?
Dude, I wish. There's a Smackin' Smash Burger food truck. We got 20% off the next time we go, but I haven't been in a while.
Today's the day, brother.
I wish.
Speaking of today's the day, brother. I'm going to put Savannah at seven. She is in danger. They know that she is strong. We are going to go after Savannah. If Hina's plan works, it will be Savannah going home. They are not going to go after Rizzo. They're not going to go after Bilardi. So Savannah is on the chopping block. That is dangerous. I think she can get out of it. We'll see. Maybe she gets on 50. But Savannah is going to be the one who...
You're annoying, man.
...gets both.
There's something so hateable about you sometimes, and that was it.
Savannah's going to be getting votes. I don't think they will send her home, so she is in danger, but going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if we're taking 50 more into consideration, Savannah should be top three this week. We're both being very mature, putting her as low as we are. I'm proud of you, Blake. You've matured as a person.
Good for us. And then eighth place, I have Steven. I think Steven is well connected, so people are going to be fighting for him. I think that is kind of a roadmap for like, oh, we should get him out because people are pushing back at this. But that's why I have Segretti at nine, because based on the initial reactions of we thought she would go, we were basically playing in her mind that she would go. I'm wondering if people will go, we should work with Segretti, or based on their reactions, like if we could just do a force out, like maybe it's Sophie Segretti's time to go home because nobody really has her back. And then we can just Mexican standoff at four, or what is it? Mexican standoff at 4-4 at eight. Like, because Juwan and Sage, everybody's thinking they could work with them. So let's just get Segretti out now and then test our alliances at eight against the other side, I think is a thing that could happen.
Yeah, I think that if Rizzo and Savannah and Sophie can get through this vote without having to play anything, it would be because they're voting out Sophie Segretti. Like, they would be able to convince more people to vote her out. But if they want to keep around that, she's not even a meat shield. She's like a dead man walking shield. If they want to keep that around, you're probably going to have to play an advantage. And that means, like, because I don't think Juwan would ever vote for Steven to give you the number advantage to vote him out in this episode.
So let's set up the whole next couple episodes here. Who's getting idled and going home?
Steven.
I kind of agree with that. Who is Belardi using her knowledge as power on?
Christina.
I kind of believe in that. How does Alex go home if he does go home?
The Margarita curse.
How does Juwan go home if Juwan goes home?
Final five.
Who is the final three of this season?
It's starting to look like Savannah, Sophie, and Rizzo.
That's crazy.
It's starting to look like them. Yeah. It's starting to look like them. But I will say this. I still think Sophie wins. I do. I still think Sophie wins. I know people are all over Savannah. I still think Sophie wins. Maybe
I'm wrong. If you say you're the female Russell Hance, the only thing Russell Hance does and is known for is two things. Being evil and losing
football. that's not it. All right. No, you're right. You're right. And I do think that maybe people respect the game, but right now, okay. Last week, whose move was that? Rizzo's. If Rizzo sits next to Savannah, Rizzo gets the votes right now over Savannah. That happens. And if Rizzo and Savannah are splitting votes at the end, Sophie wins, or whoever's sitting next to them wins. Same thing if Juwan and Sage are sitting next to each other at the end at this point. The third person probably wins. Unless it's Christina.
Or it's a tie and they have to bring Shannon back.
Shannon comes back to just they decided they changed the rules this time just because they wanted Shannon to yell at Sage one more time.
This is why we need reunions.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's coming for 50. Don't worry.
There's so much juice left to squeeze. I don't watch reunions anyway, but it would be a funny thing of like...
You are going to watch the Karen Moen reunion, though.
Oh, of course.
That's the best one. They don't talk to anybody from the season. That's the best one.
Trish is my number one bring back for All-Stars.
Trish?
Yeah, Trish is amazing. In your heart.
Kagyan. Karen Moen?
Kagyan.
I said Karen Moen.
No, I'm not watching the Karen Moen reunion.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, who the hell is Trish? It's not even a nickname for anybody.
Trish was on two seasons, I think, man.
Patricia. It's because mom was there. All right, we're out of here. I need to go home. All right, thank you all so much for listening. On Tuesday, Tag With will be live with Brian Corridon. Hell yeah. Guatemala love. On Thursday, Blake and I at 7:30 p.m. will be live with Alexa. Yeah, that's right. Alexa's joining us on Thursday, coming back to the podcast for the first time in season 49. And then on Wednesday, obviously, me and Will will be doing our podcast. And then next Monday, I'm going to be live with Troyzan. So there's your guests that are coming up this week. So get excited. Let us know who you think is going to go home this week, what you think is going to happen. That's it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/specialists. Bye, everybody.
We should get Alexa to come on again.
Yeah, I know. Everybody seems excited about that. Woohoo.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.